I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. God is good. Always keeping the main thing, the main thing. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thanking God for the church. Amen. I'm thanking the brethren once again for giving me another opportunity to come up here and say some words. Amen. And I hope and pray that the words that I say is comforting to you and make you a better person for having come. Amen. Because we, as stated before, we live in perilous times, in the last days. And sure enough, we need Jesus. And for anybody who don't think they need Jesus, is in trouble. Amen. Today, my lesson is coming from the book of 2 Timothy, the third chapter. What was read to you, verse 1, but I would like to read verse 1 through 5. Verse 5. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 through 5. You would also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred, and they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and lovers of pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will be rejected, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. Perilous times in the last days. We spoke before of some perilous times. We spoke of the last thing I think we spoke of is children disobeying parents, and that's we need our future. We need our children. Our children is our future, and we need to focus on that a lot these days. Seen on the news where with a young man, he said he was going to give some free videos if they did something. I don't know. But all these kids was out there, you know, just running wild and jumping on cars and whatnot. You know, I mean, that's our future. And if this is our future, we're in trouble. Amen? So we got some work to do. I seen a couple of weeks ago, what's this girl named Sally, whatever her name is, she's on Sally, whatever, this girl, I forgot her name, but the young ladies and some men, some young boys crying because they couldn't get tickets to see her. Are you with me? They're crying because they couldn't get tickets to see her. And then when you see her, she's up on stage half naked. Are you with me? Singing some songs that, you know, ain't encouraging, you know, for those who understand, but, you know, but we were there. So we can't just knock them, you know, because we were there too. You remember that. You know, we're jumping up and down on those music that didn't, you know, we didn't actually hear. You know, we just liked it. I'll be the other woman as long as I know I'm the only other woman. and stuff like that, right? Oh, we get down to that, not hearing the lyrics, not really recognizing what it is. We've been there. We've been young, but now we're old. Are you with me? David says, I've been young and I've been old, but you've never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. So we've been there. We've been young before. And we ought to know how to teach the young because we've been young. If we'd never been young before, then we had a problem teaching. Amen? Mm-hmm. But we've been young before. So we ought to be able to teach them. Amen? And then we come to unthankful. The next is unthankful. Unthankful, it comes from a Greek word, acharistos. The Greek word acharistos means ungrateful, means that you're unthankful. You know, people like that ask the question, why should we be thankful when we actually deserve it? We deserve what we get. You know, why should we be thankful? You owe it to me. And that's how some people think of it, right? But some people are just plain down unthankful because they don't know what they're thankful for. Amen. We as Christians, we know what we're thankful for. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for Jesus Christ yesterday. We're thankful for Jesus Christ right now. And we're thankful for Jesus Christ then. Amen. But, you see, the people who are unthankful, when you're unthankful, you don't know what God has done. Are you with me? And if you don't know what God have done, you don't know what God is doing right now. And if you don't know what God is doing right now, you haven't a clue what he can do. Are you with me? You haven't a clue. And we have some people who are like that. But we are people that we know what God have done. What he have done, he lived, suffered, bled, died, crucified on the cross. Woke up that third day for you and me. What he's doing now, he's interceding for us. He is like our attorney, our lawyer. Now, what he will do, he would be our judge, and an honest judge. Amen? Not those judges that could be bought. Are you with me? Not those judges that like this one more than the other one, but he would be a just judge. And see, this is what we look for. You know, but unthankful people don't see that because they don't know what they're thankful for. It was a guy, him and his wife was in the restaurant, and they was sitting down eating. And after they, you know, finished eating, he called the waiter and said, come and give me the bill. The waiter comes over and said, you have no bill. He said, what? He said, your bill has been paid for. He said, who did it? He said, I'm not to say. I can't tell you. And he was thankful, but he couldn't give thanks to the one who, because he didn't know who, but this is what he did. He told the waiter to come back. And he said, how much was it? The waiter told him. And he gave the waiter that as a tip. Amen. Are you with me? He gave the waiter that as a tip because he was thankful. Are you with me? We can give thanks, but still we have to be thankful. You know, someone could say thank you to us, but it's still a thankful thing. You go on. It's just like when we look at our joy and happiness. You see, we said this before. Happiness is something that happened and you're happy for it. Something like you know, you get a present, you get a gift, or you know, you graduate, something happened, you're happy for it, right? But joy ain't nothing has to happen for you to be joyous. Amen? Sometimes people wake up in the morning and say, oh Lord, it's raining. We say, thank God for the rain. Are you with me? People wake up and said, oh, God, it's just too hot. We say, Lord, thank you for the heat. Some people wake up and say, just too much snow out there. It's too, you know. We say, thank you, Lord, Are you with me? We're happy anyhow. It ain't nothing good have to happen. Are you with me? You know, to make us joyous, we're joyous anyhow. Are you with me? Anyhow. Amen. You know, we're just like that. And this is what it's about. But unthankful people don't see it that way. They're just ungrateful. Are you with me? Think that, you know, the things that they get, they deserve it. It's my, you know, hey, I deserve this. Are you with me? Without being thankful. But when you're thankful, you recognize what has happened. And because we're thankful, we recognize what Jesus have done. We recognize what he's doing right now. And we recognize that just judge what he's going to do. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And because where I am, you would also be. Amen. And that's what he's doing for us right now, preparing a place for us. And we believe that. You know, we believe that. Some people look at us and say, yo, nuts, excuse me, right? But, you know, I'd rather be nuts for Christ than be a fool for a fool. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we come to unholy. Unholy, the Greek word, anosisos. Impious, wicked, not showing respect or reverence for God. Unholy in the Old Testament was when you were unholy, you refused burial for the dead. In the Old Testament, unholy was when a brother married a sister. Unholy was when a son married his mother. Unholy was things like performing bestiality. Y'all know what that is, right? Amen. You know, amen. And see, these things was unholy. I heard about some places in South America that is happening. In some places other than the world, it's happening. You know, and people will go pay for that. You know, that would be an attraction, just like some circuses may. I don't know. You know, places, crazy places, you know, like, because we got some crazy places right here. Amen. We ain't got to go across the sea to get the crazy places, because we got crazy places right here. Right here. Are you with me? And people would go to pay to see that. That's unholy. You may not involve yourself in it, but you pay to go and see something. That's unholy. Amen. If it, someone has said it like this, if it don't add up, if you could add it, you could subtract it, you could multiply it or divide it, it'll still come up zero, nothing. That's unholy. So if it's unholy, then we ought to stay away from it. Amen. The Bible teaches, it says that God is holy. Amen. And we ought to be holy because he is holy. Amen. You see, we sing the song, take time to be holy. Amen. Make time if you ain't got time. Take time to be holy. Do holy things. Holy things is God-like things. Unholy things is not God-like things. Amen. Be thou holy because I am holy, Jesus said. And then we have without natural affection. Astargos, the Greek term. No human affection for family. It's like we don't love our family like we ought to. Amen? You know, women don't open the door for us no more. Amen? That's a joke. Amen? We're getting away from that, and we don't want to do that. Amen? we want to love our children, and we want our children to love us. Amen? We want that togetherness. We want that safeness. We need that love of a family. But there are many without that love, without natural affection. Right? Amen? It's an affection that folks of the world give one another, and it don't matter. You either take it or not take it. There was a woman, speaking of love, there was a woman, she worked with another guy, and it said that every day she would pass by this guy, and she would just be smiling. You know, he would, you know, she would go to lunch. She passed, just smiling, you know, just smiling, you know. They would go out, you know, to, you know, in the streets, you know, when they come to work, in and out, and she would pass them, and she was just smiling. You know, she would just be smiling, right? So he said, you know, I'm going to see what's up, right? And he asked her, he said, do I know you? She said, I don't think so. He said, do you know me? She said, in a way. He said, how do you know me? She said, you look like my second husband. He said, oh, you was married twice? She said, no, only once. You get that later on. Amen. You get that later on. Amen. But without natural affection, the natural affection is that we want to give to one another. We, you know, I want to love my wife and cause her to what love me back. It was a song back in the day. It's so good loving somebody when somebody love you back. You ain't got to wait for nobody to love you back to love them, but it's so good, amen, when somebody love you back. If you're a person who give all the time and you never get back, then it's going to get old now. It's going to get old. If you always giving and don't get back, it's going to get old, and it's going to be some problems. Amen? But anyway, then we got truce breakers, aspondos, the Greek word. A dishonorable man who breaks the term of an agreement that he made. A person who just breaks agreements. Amen? He can't keep it. You remember the Old Testament story of Shechem and Dinah? You remember that? It said that Shechem, he had defiled Dinah. You remember? Read it sometime in Genesis 34th chapter. It said that Shechem had defiled her, and Shechem was not of the tribe he wasn't of the same tribe. He was not circumcised, and he defiled Dinah. And it said that Jacob's son found out about it, and they were mad. They were mad at Shechem and his father. But Shechem and his father, they tried to, you know, bring things about in peace. They wanted peace. Are you with me? They said, and Shechem said, I really love your daughter, Jacob. I really love her, and I want to marry her. Are you with me? Even though I did what I did and it was wrong, I want to marry her. And so the boys, they got in front, and they said, well, you know, if you want to marry our women, right, what you need to do is get circumcised, right? And then you will be like us, and then we can marry your women, and, you know, and you can, are you with me? You know, but what happened, those boys, they was mad because they didn't like that what had happened. So they told Shechem and the rest of the men, they said, y'all go ahead and get circumcised, right? You know, so they went and got circumcised. On the third day, they were sore. You men, you know, hello, men, y'all know about that, right? They will soar. And it said that they, Jacob's son came into the camp and slew them all. Because they couldn't fight back. Are you with me? And slew them all. You see, that's a truth break. You know, they said that they said one thing, but they what? Did another. Amen? And that's what truth breaking is, you know, just like we got it going on right now. We all these wars going on, you know, it don't make sense. Amen. Amen. False accusers, diablos, or the devil, a slanderer, to make false and damaging statement about someone. Amen. False accusers. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Amen. And you know, we have people who would tell a lie for another person. Are you with me? Falsely. Amen. And God said, you know, don't do that. Because God said, I hate that. And if God hated, guess what? We ought to hate it. And if we do it and God hate it, that means God got a problem with us now. And we don't want that problem. Proverbs 6:19, the Bible says, God hate a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You see, God hates that. And if he hates that, I don't want no part of it. Amen. Oh, it's an awesome thing that God be, you know, that God be against you. You know, that's you know, you ain't got no safety if God is with you. You could, you know, you could run to the devil for hide the devil to run away from you. So don't call you. Amen. You see, because God, if God hates it, remember, we ought to hate it too. We ought to hate it too. And then we got incontinent. Our acritis. A lack of self-control. It said a man can reach a stage when, far from controlling a habit or a desire, he becomes a slave to the desire. Amen. That's incontinent and fierce. Agrios, or savage. It denotes a savagery which has neither sensitiveness nor sympathy. One who is lost to the human sympathy and feeling. Don't have no kind of feeling. You're acting like a wild person, you know. And then you have despisers of those who do good. Aphilagathos, opposed to goodness or good men. You know, people like that, they call us goody-two-shoes. You know, I've been working with the guys, and not once or twice, but several times. I've been working with some guys, and they, you know, lunchtime they go and do their thing, you know, and I won't do it. And you would think they would say, "Well, we got a Christian working with us. We're happy," but they mad at me because I won't do what they do.
That's true.
Are you with me? I mean, mad to the point that they want to fight. Are you with me? Because I don't want to do that. I'm good at two shoes. Are you with me? And you have people like that, that like despise people who do good. You know, they will say, do wrong. I mean, you act like you can't never do wrong. I mean, do something wrong. I mean, this, you know, you're human. You're human just like me. I do wrong every day. But that's you. Amen. Amen. I want to do what's right. Amen. Traitors, prodotes, faithless in friendship. We know one as Judas. Amen. You know, that was a cold thing he's done, you know. You know, and I'm sure some of us had some such maybe things that happened. Now, he went and kissed Jesus, didn't really mean it. He was just, amen, you know, that was cold. But anyway, heady, propitis, or headlong, it desires the man who is swept on by passion and impulse to such extent that he is totally unable to think sensibly. High-minded, tetuphorminos, inflated, high-minded. The word that we use is swollen head. You know, we see people like that. Amen. To be filled with selfish pride, like Satan, lifted up, inflated with self-conceit. Then we have lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Here we come back to where we started from. Men will worship self instead of God. Amen? Amen. And then we come to having a form of godliness. This is part three now, and this is the last part. Amen. So please listen to this closely. This is very important. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, or rejecting the power that could actually help you or make you godly. Amen. A form of godliness is like a shadow. Amen. Of ourselves. The shadow is a form of us. Amen. The shadow is not us, but it's a form of us. We can't ask the shadow to say, "Shadow, I want you to go to work Monday because, you know, I want to go fishing." Amen? It don't work like that. But the shadow is a form. It's a form. And a lot of people have a form of godliness. They act like they're Christians, but they're not. Someone said, if you put an expensive glass, a shade, on a duck, amen, it's still a duck. It said you could put an expensive fur on a duck, it's still a duck. Amen. You could buy a nice hat and put on, but it's still a duck. Amen. You see, you could dress it up like a duck, but within is still a duck. Amen. And there are many people who act like Christians, but really it's a form of it. It's just like a form of love. If we act like we love somebody, right, and don't, you see, one thing we got to go back to the Father. He sees all. He not only could see the outside, but guess what? He sees the inside. In Revelation, he said, the people said, we're rich, we're this, we're that. And God said, no, you're not. You're naked and you don't know what you're talking about. Because I got you. I see you. Are you with me? Because we can act like we love. We can act like we want to. But, amen, we just, God sees it. You see, I probably could trick Holloway. Are you with me? I could act like I love him. I could act like, right? And you know, he could be just as happy, you know. But if I don't, God sees it. And then in I think in Luke 12 chapter, God says he said he don't like hypocrites. He would reveal hypocrites. He said anything said in the ear in the closet, are you with me? I will pronounce upon the rooftop. Are you with me? In other words, God is saying, I believe he's saying this, right? He's saying that he don't want people to trick us. He's going to reveal the people who's trying to trick us. He's going to reveal them to us. Now, after he revealed them to us, it's on who? To us. Are you with me? And then he's saying also that he don't want us to what? Trick somebody else. Because if we trick somebody, he's going to reveal who? Us. Amen? He will reveal us. Amen. You see, we can act like it. We could act like what? You know, we won't get it acting like. Amen? We're not going to get acting like. The young boy said to his preacher, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I don't know." He said, "You know, speak of heaven, it seems like heaven is a boring place." He said, what if I get to heaven and I'm bored?" The preacher told him, he said, "With that attitude, you ain't going to get to heaven." Amen? You're not going to get to heaven, you know, with that attitude. So you ain't even got to worry about it. Amen. But we act like, you know, we sometimes we act like we love, we act like we want to do, and we act like, amen. But God sees it. God sees the inward side of us. He sees it. And he would warn you. He said, you know, hey, listen, I see you. Get it right. You know, get it right. Get it right. The Bible says, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They walk in different ways from the walk that they talk. Amen. Paul warns us about the perilous time, because we are in perilous times right now, and Paul warns us about it earlier on. And you know, we must heed God's warning, because God knows what he's talking about. And if we don't heed his warning, we get caught up in these perilous times. These perilous times, David told us like this. He said, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David said it a long time ago, where Paul is saying it now to us, right? God will see us through. Amen. Someone has put it like this, God bring us to it, he sure enough will take us through it. Amen. That's what someone has said. And God, he wants to. He wants that everyone be saved. But we have to want it too. Amen? We have to want it too. And these people who make up these perilous times are folks who don't know God and they don't want God and they don't care. Amen? They just don't care. You know, the Bible said they will be eating, drinking, marrying, you know, without God. Without God. We got to have God. Look what the Bible said. Paul, he gave a warning earlier on to the Romans. He wrote Romans first chapter, beginning of verse 18. Paul gave a warning. Amen. Because perilous times, you know, this is where we are. And it's not the birds and the bees, the flowers and the trees. No, it's man. It's what we do. Are you with me? It's things that we do and things that we make happen. You know, we do these things because we don't listen to God. And these things happen and these things occur because we don't listen. Amen. You know, we'd rather listen to that person who's going to send us that stimulus check. You know, I'm going to vote for him again, you know. And he ain't got, he just wants to vote. He ain't thinking about, hey, man, really? Hey, man, I'm not no politician. But anyway, Romans, the first chapter, beginning at verse 18, it reads, but God has shown his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. From the time of the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, for his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. They don't have no excuse. Amen? Not whatsoever. Listen, verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Amen? And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. You know, that's what a lot of people do. They want God to be what they want him to be. Like God is that, you know, that lucky charm, you know, that you take out when you really need it. Amen. It says, the results was that their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people or birds and animals and snakes. So God let them go ahead and do whatsoever shameful things their hearts desire. As a result, they did vile, disgrading things to each other's body. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately choose to believe lies. So they worship the things God made, but not the Creator Himself, who is to be praised forever. This is why God abandoned them to their sinfulness desire. Even the women turn against the natural way to have sex and instead of indulging sex with others. And the men, instead of having normal sex relation with women, burn with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, suffered within themselves the penalty that they should so richly deserve. When, verse 28, when they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murdering, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They are forever venting new ways of sinning and are disobedient to the parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, and are heartless and unforgiving. They are fully aware of God's deadly penalty for those who do these things. They are aware. They know what's going to happen, but just don't care. Amen. They just don't care. They ain't scared enough. You know, they're not scared enough. The Bible said that fear is the beginning of. Amen. I ain't said it right. No, I did it. It says that the trusting of God is the beginning of faith. Well, you know what I'm saying, right? You know, we ought to fear God. We ought to fear God. Anyway, they're fully aware that God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead on and do it anyway. Amen? They know what's wrong. Are you with me? And they do it anyway. And look at the end of this. And worse yet, they encourage others to do the same thing. Amen. They say to others, "Go ahead on. You know, if you want to kill your child, go ahead on to kill him. That's your baby." Amen. You know, if you want to kill that baby, go ahead. That's you. That's yours. You have the right to kill your baby if you want to. That's what they're telling people. They're saying that, listen, if you're a man, if you love a man, amen, go ahead on the man. Amen. What's wrong with that? I don't see nothing wrong with that. That's what they're saying. You see, they're actually promoting this on other folks. Saying, listen, this is all right. Go ahead and do it. Amen. Go ahead. If you want an abortion, you know if you want your baby or not. Go ahead and kill that baby. That's yours. Amen. This is what they're saying. This is what the Bible is saying. It says, from such turn away from. Amen. That person like that shouldn't be your friend. It should be your neighbor. You can't help that, but you can. This is my best friend. She done killed four babies, amen. Because she didn't want none of them. But this is my friend. No, you are their friend, but they shouldn't be your friend because of you. One thing about friendship I've learned in life, that if you have a friend, You're going to do some things the friends say, and the friends are going to do some things that you say. And if you don't do it, y'all ain't going to be friends. So you got to, amen, you got to come together and do some things together that keep you friends. Amen. But having a friends like this, the Bible tells us to turn away from them. Don't turn away from the person himself, but turn away from the way. Are you with me? That way. Because there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Bible says, Psalms 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he do shall prosper. Some folks read that and say, nah, I don't think, you know, I think, amen. If it says it, I think. I think and I look forward to it. Amen. Now I'm not gonna stand here and say I don't make mistakes, but I fall sometime, but I learned something. I learned if I fall, get up. And when and if you fall, the longer you stay down, the longer something you ought to recognize something's wrong with you. Are you with me? Because we are Christians and we fall, we get right back up. Right back up. Are you with me? We don't linger. We don't stay down, you know. Amen? That's a bad thing to do. Get right back up. That's me. You know, some may say something different. You know, Bill Pastor, you've been reading too many books, you know, but I believe it's true. You see, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I don't fall, because I have fallen many times. Fall this morning, as a matter of fact, but I got back up. Amen. Amen. And guess what? If I live on, I'm going to fall some more, but I'm going to get back up. But in these perilous times, believe this, right? In these perilous times that we have, we don't have to be like the world. We're transformed from the, we don't have to conform to their way. You know, because sometimes what happened is, and I'm going to close. Sometimes what happened is that we want to be with them so bad to we're willing to do what they do. Well, you know, the Bible says, well, we're supposed to be weak as the weak. You might want to check that out again. Amen. You know, we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed from it. Amen. It's going to be a lot of things that's going on in this world going to seem right. That $1 billion lottery out there, you know, some probably saying, well, President, I hope you would hurry up because I want to get my number in now. You know, amen. But that gambling thing, that's unholy. You try it if you want to. Are you with me? It's unholy. And somebody has gotten mad at me because I went somewhere and I preached about it. And they said, you know, I'm going to play my numbers there. I'm going to play my, you know, go ahead. If that's what you want to do. Right. But I just want to say this. Right. I remember back in the days I played. As a matter of fact, the first number I ever played. And this is the truth. The first time I ever played back in the late 60s, early 70s, whatever, right? It's called the street numbers. It was illegal. Are you with me? And everybody was telling me, go ahead and play it. Go ahead and play it. I said, nah, man, I ain't, you know, right? So I played it. I gave him a quarter. And I said, give me a seven. That's all you want? I said, yeah, that's all I want, right? And guess what? The seven came out. And guess how much money I got? $4. Amen? Oh, this is all right. Are you listening? Back in the 70s, I don't know if some of you recall, but $4 was a good piece of change. Back then, you know, it was a good piece of change. $5 would probably fill your gas tank up. Amen? Or half or whatever. Amen? It was a good piece of money. And I hit the first time I played a seven and I hit. The next time I couldn't hit, I said, well, I'm going to, you know, try it maybe the next time. Didn't hit. The next time, didn't hit. The next time, I forgot to play it. And guess what? It came out. Amen? You see, that's the devil drawing us to the greed of money. Amen? We got to have, because a lot of people figure that if they're rich, they're going to be happy. But it might not be so, you know? It might not be so. Be careful. Be careful. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. This is what it says. Verse 14 through 17. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can God goodness be a partner with wickedness? How can light with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God says. We are the temple of God. I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and separate yourself from them, saith the Lord. Amen. You see, in these perilous times, it's a lot of pull, you know, especially to that lottery. Oh, if I could just hit that lottery, everything would just be okay. Amen. If I could just hit it, you know. Oh, the bills, you know, I would have no bills. I could go to Rome. I could go to Paris. Amen. I can go to England, Germany. I could even take that trip to the moon with $1 million. Amen. Not to the moon, but up there, you know, I could do that, you know, but you know, the consequences of that, it's unholy. It'll cause your mind to, it's like you can't pray because you're thinking about that so much. And then when and if you hit, then you're going to say, God did it. And God ain't had nothing to do with it. Amen? Nothing to do with that. But some folks are like that. And I know y'all want me to be quiet, so I'm going to be quiet now, okay? Amen. If you are here and you're not a member of the church, and I hope and pray that something said this, that helped somebody. That's all I'm trying to do is help people. I'm not up for, you know, like I told the brother, it ain't with me, it ain't about no money. Because I know better now. It's not about that. It's about souls. Saving souls. It's about souls. It's about souls. Not who is on the top, who on the bottom. It's about souls. That's what it's about. Amen. Each one of us have a job to go ye therefore. Are you with me? Go ye therefore. That's our job, to get some more souls and go to our children, please. Because those kids are being drawn out there by the devil. Has some devices out there now. Amen. That drawing these kids away, drawing them away. And not just don't think about your kids. Think about the next door neighbor's kids, too. Because that's our job. Amen. Teach them to teach them. We got a job to do. If you're here and you are not a member, this you must do some things. Firstly, you must hear God's word. You must believe what you heard. You must repent and turn of your way and turn to God's way. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay faithful in God's grace. You must come to worship. You must give. You must sing. You must teach. You must preach. You must love. Amen? And if you're here and you are a member and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand, you may ask for prayer at this time. Thank you.